Hopefully this one makes it out of the ether. Welcome, everybody, to another week of the Soccer Thread podcast. As you can tell, this is not the lovely dulcet tones of one Dan Trader. This is Ryan Palmer potting from the closet in PDX that is not being overrun and, burnt down to the ground, as you might think from some news reports. We're okay.
Yeah.
Staying safe in the PDX studios here. Happy to be here. I am staring at a video of one Colin Smith from the shed.
The only one of us with enough bandwidth to do it video style. I'm out here in the shed. Yeah, it's hot in the shed. We're night potting right now. The high here in Massachusetts today was 95 degrees. It's been like that all weekend. Been spending a lot of time at the beach, but right now, I'm trapped in a small shed with a large fly, and it's hot, and I have my shirt off. So I'm feeling great. In other words, it's I'm glad to be here.
We're happy to have you. So we have one special guest, which is Housefly, and Housefly, we have a second special guest, reeks of champagne, Keevan.
Well, it's been a hot weekend here in Milwaukee as well, but more of just celebrating leads going up. My AC is also broken, so that adds to it. But yeah, popping champagne, literally popping champagne Friday night. Saturday, had some afternoon drinks, celebratory drinks that kind of turned into evening drinks too. So it's not a good weekend
as they do.
You ain't hungover on Sunday, and you promotion comes every once in 16 years, so it's been a while. I got to let loose.
I like it.
That's about the frequency which I'll drink hard 2 days on a weekend. So good for you for being able to do that.
Popping champagne responsibly, too. Outside, cares for the house, does it in the lawn. It's just responsible champagne popping.
Yep.
Colin, I don't know what I'm doing with this hosting thing, so I'm just going to... We're just going to go by the seat of my pants, which are still on.
Boo.
Yeah.
Yes, pants. We talked about this.
You got emails?
We got an email.
Yes.
We got an email, which is honestly stunning. I am so grateful to Spencer Dixon for writing an email when we don't even put out podcasts anymore, basically. And he's emailing us. It just becomes a friendship thing at this point that he's just sending this to. Well, I would say the four of us, meaning the podcast, but he also CCs Keevan. So the five of us just as an easy way to start a conversation. So thanks, Spence, for emailing. The email he sent is about Christian Pulisic. No surprise there. That's definitely the number one thing I would say that American soccer has going for it right now. Things in Orlando, I wouldn't say American soccer has any of that going for them. So, yeah, he's obviously doing well at Chelsea. The article is from ESPN.com, and it's basically a big story about how Christian Pulisic right now, comparatively, not only from a perspective of course, at this age, no American soccer player has ever been this highly rated or, had these stats. Of course, that's been true for a while, probably for Christian. The comparisons they make there is Clint Dempsey and Carlos Bocanegra were like just getting started in MLS. Those are some of the guys who've had long European careers. McBride and Brad Friedel had not made their professional debut. Tim Howard was a backup for New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. So he's miles ahead of those kind of guys, but also, his peak right now, or his, where he's at right now is higher than basically all these guys' peaks. So we need to stop comparing Christian Pulisic to American soccer stars, basically, and start comparing him to, wingers around the world who are, you know, either world-class or debatably world-class guys.
I mean, I feel like last week in the second pod that probably might not reach our listeners, the lost pods.
Yeah.
I think you compared Pulisic. I think you invoked Hazard's name, possibly.
Yeah. So Eden Hazard is the one that I don't say like I'm like the only one who's ever made that comparison, right? Because obviously he's brought into Chelsea to replace Eden Hazard in a lot of ways. But, you know, that's to me his game like compares there, right? Like it seems like both of them have similar strengths or whatever. But this ESPN article, which, you know, actually I do recommend reading, does a good job of kind of putting numbers on that or on these kind of things about like how does he play or where are the strengths, and compares Pulisic to a group of elite wingers, which I'll now list, in their either Premier League debut or their age 21 season. So these guys are like 21, 22, 22, 23, 24, 21 in these years that they're comparing to Christian Pulisic. And the players are Philippe Coutinho, Eden Hazard, Mo Salah, Sadio Mane, Riyad Mahrez, and Raheem Sterling. Keith.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great group, right? Keith, any of those guys that you feel, obviously, we've already talked about Eden Hazard, but any of those guys stand out to you as an apt comparison for Christian Pulisic?
At this moment, like the form that Pulisic's in, I think Mane or Mahrez kind of not the mold, but their style were you brought up Eden Hazard, and I think that is that he's dribbling at people, and he's like he gets the ball and he's looking to create his own space rather than like to go back to McBride and Dempsey, like they were finishers and they kind of had, you know, like they weren't taking people on. It was like putting themselves in the right spot and getting the ball in the back of the net, where he's like dribbling at people and dribbling around people, making them look silly. Like since the restart, he's the best player on the pitch. Like, and he's American, which is just so crazy. Like he's in the Premier League and between two like very high caliber teams, he's literally the best player on the pitch, like with his form. Where I think Dempsey and McBride and those American players, I mean, they contributed. I'm not taking that anything away from them, but just the level that he's at. And yeah, that's why these like those comparisons are absolutely correct. I think it's an interesting article Spencer brings up. Anytime Spencer sends an email, you got to read it. But yeah, it's like, yeah, Mane and Salah and even Sterling too. I think, Sterling were like, they're dribbling at people with speed, like getting defense, like, confusing defense is just it's really cool to watch. It's amazing. I still get goosebumps that he's American and kind of especially even with like the other Americans, especially playing in Germany, it just makes me like actually excited to see the men's teams come back again and see what they can do if Berhalter can get his shit together.
Okay,
yeah,
I had to slip in a Berhalter hate there a little bit. You can't,
well, yeah.
We'll get on to Berhalter in a minute when we do MLS's back, because apparently he's able to get into the bubble. But Colin, Mike's not here to, some would call him a pessimist, some would call him a realist. Put on your mic flip-flops for a second.
My flippy flap is.
And give some realism to this Pulisic love, because this is what, how many games have he played since we've come back from quarantine? This is all based off of his quarantine form, which, you know, this admittedly has been fantastic.
This is based on his year.
Okay.
So it's based on his year, but you make a good point. It's based on the comparison. I want to talk more about how the numbers actually end up stacking up, because I just like threw it out to Kevin to say like who feels like Pulisic, but I want to talk about how the numbers stack up. But
this is not compared by, I mean, I know that we're comparing numbers by his year, right? But
yeah,
we're, you know, if at the time we went into quarantine in March, I think
he was not one of these guys.
All looking at Christian Pulisic as almost a failure.
Yeah.
And now coming back from quarantine, he's the best midfielder in Europe.
Seven games.
So, yeah, you make a great point, is that basically the stats used in this entire article are per 90 minutes stats, right? Because that's the only way you can compare him right now and have these comparisons make sense, because, you know, he hasn't been a starter all year. He hasn't been able to stay healthy all year. None of that. So, you know, some of these guys, Sadio Mane was playing for Southampton, like, obviously was in the team every week, right? You know, other guys played a much more central role or more important to their team in these years. So,
I mean, Raheem Sterling was getting sent home from America on whatever that TV show was.
The first plane back, yeah. I mean, Riyad Mahrez in this year, 14-15, was winning a Premier League title with Leicester. Like, it was that year for him. Like, that you're certainly, A, he was much more instrumental to the success there than Pulisic has been to any Chelsea success this year. But they hit a higher mark. The expectations were much lower. Like, yeah, Pulisic's numbers per 90 might be better in some categories, but you can't say his year compares to that year for Riyad Mahrez, when I think Mahrez was African Player of the Year and like all this kind of stuff, right? No. Mm-hmm. So, and I think a huge knock on Christian, like, and not without merit, is the idea that, you know, staying healthy has been a problem for him.
Right.
So that matters. Like, availability is the best ability. So he's got to get out there every week. So, That's the level he's at. I mean, Eden Hazard is a good example of that, a guy who shows up every week most years. There's some years when he was pouting, but if he's motivated, he's healthy.
All right. So I think health has been an issue for Pulisic. I think that we've covered that. Keevan, how does Greg Berhalter screw this up? Because we know he will.
Man, that caught me off guard here. That's a good one. Because he finds, like, weird ways to do it. Like, it comes out of the woodwork. I don't know. He'll, like, sub him off too early for some weird reason. Or
I'll give you a reason. This is why Christian Pulisic will not see any more time.
Any more time.
He's done. Greg Berhalter has a son that plays for Columbus Crew. I believe got his first Columbus Crew appearance in the bubble. Sebastian Berhalter is the next Christian Pulisic, and we're going to start seeing nepotism really start paying off for that family.
Yeah.
Because it already has.
Oh, my God. Yeah, as if we need more nepotism in USSF. I would say in this comparison, I know I was saying that's all like goals per 90 minutes. I didn't get a chance here to say that, Keevan, your comparison, I don't know if you're reading this article right now, but it's spot on. Mane is the most similar numbers of those guys to Christian. Actually, at the time this article was written, Pulisic had the most goals per 90 of any of those guys. Second place was Mane, you know, just 0.3 behind him. So like basically the same. And also, you know, there's two guys here who don't fit the profile in their first season, which was Coutinho and Eden Hazard, where those guys were getting a lot more assists, actually, than goals. All the other guys, Salah, Mane, Mahrez, Sterling, were kind of in the profile of Pulisic of getting more goals and assists. And then there's other things that set some of these guys apart. Mahrez is winning the ball back like twice as often as anybody else. And Hazard and Sterling are completing passes at a higher rate and things like that. But and Hazard and Coutinho are much more involved, making more passes and touches per game. But Mane and Pulisic, their stats line up very, very well. So if you're thinking about, you know, aspirational players you'd like Christian Pulisic to be like, Sadio Mane, hardly could pick a better player. Like you said,
also a good human.
Also a good human.
So calling you bring up a good question, and you mentioned this in kind of the preamble to this email. We're comparing Pulisic. We have to stop comparing Pulisic to Americans, because we're comparing Americans to Pulisic, who is not at his peak, and the Americans that we compare him to are Americans that were at their peak when they're playing in the Premier League. So, Keeve, what is Pulisic's peak? Like, if you had to say peak Pulisic compared to this player, what do we want Pulisic to be like? Do we want him to be like Mane, or can we think of a better player that we envision Christian Pulisic, CP de God?
Yeah, I think you answer your question with the question is that we shouldn't label him to another player. He's CP the God, and he's laying down the groundwork for him, and he's going to be Christian Pulisic.
I like it.
And then I'd go back to your Berhalter question, since Berhalter's all about like building out of the back. So, I mean, he could put Pulisic at a left back and just try to have him dribble the field.
we just found our left back situation, our issue.
I mean, it fixes two holes here, two problems.
One thing, I like the Sadio Mane comparison the more I like look at it or whatever, or think about it. He's a winger who runs at people, but he's not necessarily like Salah scores a lot of goals. I don't ever see Pulisic becoming like a 30-goal striker kind of guy, right, of those wingers. Like, he's not really a fox in the box at all. He's not. That's not his game. So probably like his peak goals per year is a little lower, which is more like Sadio Mane. And also the fact that Sadio Mane, although you could make this call about Mo Salah as well, does not play for a great national team, has to put the team on his back for Senegal, and obviously Mo Salah for Egypt. And that's going to be the case with Christian Pulisic. Like, we're not going to come around. He's always going to come back to the national team and be the best player for like the next 10 years. I mean, maybe Tyler Adams comes along and is like another, you know, rock, so to speak. But Christian Pulisic is going to be driving this attack for a long, long time, the way some of these guys are for their national teams. And so, you know, we need to fit the pieces around him, so to speak.
That's a good comparison, especially Mo Salah, because I remember when they qualified for the World Cup, his like expectations on him, and that was like right after his move to Liverpool, ridiculous, like record-breaking season, and the expectations for that team were just like ridiculously, absurdly high, like almost so high that there's no way they could reach it, and maybe. Yeah. Maybe we're getting into that territory with Christian, talking about a six game form, or whatever it is.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah,
so I think we all put on our mic shoes for this last few minutes here.
Yeah.
Sandals.
I mean, we know. I just think like it's also the case that, I mean, Mo Salah put the team on his back and got them to a World Cup, right? Like that's the level he could raise the players around him. Maybe in CONCACAF, getting to a World Cup is fairly easy. We could probably, I mean, obviously we can't do it every time. The history has shown us that, but you could imagine that the U.S. can qualify for a World Cup without Christian Pulisic. But with him, our ceiling is probably still, you know, we're not going to.
I mean, with him,
I don't think he's changing the future.
We couldn't even qualify with him.
Yeah, that's true. But my point is, look, even if he hits the heights that we're dreaming and he is everything that Sadio Mane is, I don't think the U.S. men's national team is suddenly a top
contender,
five team in the world. So, let's just be clear on that. There's only so much you can do, even if he's world class.
Okay, so moral of the story is Christian Pulisic's having a great six games. Not a world beater yet, but has the potential. And Greg Berhalter still sucks. All right, so we're gonna move on.
Yeah.
Thank you for the email.
Basically, it's like even in our wildest dreams, nothing matters, and we never win.
That's perfect. Thank you for the email, Colin. Will you remind the listeners what the email is? Because I can't remember.
It's soccerthread@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you, Spencer. Keevan, so some of us have had a pretty shitty 2020. You know, you've had a pretty good 2020. You got Liverpool. How are you feeling about the Liverpool win? The season was simulated, but they finally got their trophy. So let's start with your Liverpool feelings.
Amazing. Finally. It's going to be the theme for both Liverpool and Leeds is finally.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's been odd with the restart. I mean, it's awesome. Like when they clinched and, like always seeing videos from like the locker room with the players going nuts and Jurgen Klopp crying and all that stuff's pretty cool. But I mean, like the restart, I guess Liverpool be damned, social distancing and Liverpool still celebrated, like the city. But I don't know. It's just, and the fact like their form isn't even the best out of restart. Their Virgil van Dijk is doing horrible passes, and same with
Allison. he looks like he went partying with Wes Morgan.
Yeah, but I mean it's awesome, and I've never had a team that I supported like win the. I've never seen it before, so it's pretty sweet. And the fact like, I mean, there was record breaking before the restart, so like. I mean, was it 26 games or however many games they won in a row? Like, wow.
Right.
So, Leeds at the same time is, I don't know if that's going to be your next question, or am I getting too far?
Yeah, we're not done. We're not done with Liverpool yet. how do you feel about this season being an asterisk?
No asterisk. I mean, they were clear, far and ahead the best team. So, I'm not worried about that. I just, the celebration is just, I don't know. It's just odd, like celebrating in a empty stadium, and yeah. The city. I mean, they still celebrated. They probably shouldn't have. But
do you feel like they have to win it in 2021 for it to really mean something?
No. Okay. Take it. All Champions right. League followed by Premier League title is pretty historic.
I mean, what I'm really trying to do,
and the fact that like Jurgen Klopp, like in his first press conference, said like within 4 years these are my goals, and like he's basically hit them all. It just shows you the amazing manager he is, and just the fact that he like built this team like exactly in what he wants it to be. And like, and even the steps that they did it, like getting Mane and Salah, and then their defense was pretty shit a couple 2 years ago. Then they line them up, you know. It's a little bit of like the Alexander Arnold coming from the academy combined with making the right purchases. It was just cool to see how he put that puzzle all together.
How long does Klopp last at Liverpool?
He just signed a contract for like 4 more years, and I think he said he's done after that. So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was very interesting to hear him say, like, I'm going to be done after that. Like, I can't remember what he said. I'm going to take a year off and then go back to Germany or something like that. I can't remember exactly how he said it, but it was very much like you're saying, Keith, he's like, he's done exactly what he said he was going to do at Liverpool. So it makes you feel like, oh, he's really going to, like, if Mourinho said he was going to do something 4 years from now, you'd be like, yeah, whatever. That has nothing to do with reality. But like Klopp, you're like, okay, I guess he's going to manage fucking 4 more years, and then he's going to take a year off, and then he's going to go back to Germany.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just interesting that he would like make that proclamation now or whatever. But
okay, so yeah. Kiev, Liverpool, champions, and then Leeds promotion. Like, walk us through this. Tell us
Homer,
your feelings.
I think your internet cut out.
But Leeds champions. I think that was his
Leeds
transfer.
Champions. Yeah, there you go. Keith, get in there. Leeds champions. You've been texting me all year about Leeds. And every time you text me, whether they won or lost, you're always like pretty negative about it. And pretty much like, we'll fuck this up in the end. And I'm... like, you know, a little more withdrawn from the situation, obviously. But I'm invested because the manager is obviously my favorite manager in the world. And I, you know, have a sense of faith in him that doesn't connect to reality. And I was like, yeah, he's always going to be able to do it. Don't worry. And, but now we're here and, you know, El Loco has taken you to the promised land. How does it feel?
You have to start like a few years ago with like Gary Monk is the manager and also like being a Leeds fan in America.
Can you talk about why you're a Leeds fan first before you
get into this? A good point. So I, my last year of college, I studied at the University of Leeds. And when I was there, they were in not the championship, but League One. And I don't know if anyone knows the history of Leeds, but give a short story here. They used to be like just below, I'd say like the big, and at that time it was like the big three or the big four. They were an established Premier League club, and then they took out loans against like qualifying for Champions League in the upcoming years, and then they didn't do that. So they went into fire sale mode, bankrupt, and eventually fell down to, I think even League Two rather than League One. But when I was there and they're in League One, in the FA Cup, they beat Man United. And like, you could just tell like the whole city is always behind the club no matter what. And like just being there for that FA Cup run, except they played the Spurs afterwards. They tied and got a replay and they got smoked. But just like, the being in that city and like their connection with the team, even when they're like shit and bankrupt, it was pretty cool. So always had an affinity for Leeds after that.
Yeah. And maybe like people might think of, because you're saying like it's this club that's been in League One for a while or the championship, Leeds is not a small town. It's not like Huddersfield Town or something like that, where a lot of these teams we see hanging around the bottom of the Premier League or top of the championship are like pretty small towns. This is more like a Newcastle going down or something like that, where pretty big stadium, great fan support, but obviously that one kind of mismanaged series of ownership decisions, put them in the wilderness for a while, and they're just making their way back.
Yeah. So, and like they've rolled through different owners, and because I mean a lot of you can see it as like this could be potentially a big club and return. But anyway, so they've missed playoffs just barely last year with Bielsa. They were top of the league with about six games remaining. This is why I'm so pessimistic. So now I can explain that part. They're top of the league and they just completely just capitulated and fell into third. Like if you went through the, I forget that website, 35-8, I think it is, with the stats, like, before, like, the six games remaining last year. I think it had to be, like, 60 or 70% to get promoted. And then they just completely capitulated, fell out into the playoffs and then lost to Derby, who actually, and that's another funny story about today.
Bad Frank.
Yeah, Frank. And then there, and I don't know if anyone knows the Bielsa story of spying on the other players training, but it was Derby who accused him of it. So there's like a huge story and like a new rivalry between Leeds and them, which is pretty funny to see. Like today they beat them, and so Bielsa is crazy, but the director of football at Leeds is just as crazy, Victor Orta. I don't know if anyone watched the Take Us Home documentary on Amazon. If you haven't, you should. You see how crazy it is. But today he brought binoculars into the director's box. So after they won, he was walking around the director box with binoculars and like waving the Leeds flags as the players were down on the field celebrating the being champion. So it was pretty cool to see that. And just like, I don't know, you don't see that out of directors of footballs. Usually they're like, you know, in a suit, calm, and he's just going crazy and being a dickhead. But so. Them going up
is pretty yin and yang with Bielsa.
It's just a great story too, you know, kind of like a return to glory, and hopefully they can stay up and Bielsa kind of doing like his thing, a legendary manager, getting them in and like taking on this huge rebuild project. And again, actually like succeeding and doing it his way. The way that Colin loves so much.
I want to talk about the, talking about parts of Bielsa that I love so much, or things about him that I love so much. Somebody sent on our text thread this week, a video of him where he comes out of his house and it's surrounded by fans, and they're like chanting his name and saying, "Oh, you're God, you're amazing," all this stuff to him. And he just comes out of his house and goes, "I don't speak English. I don't know what you're saying. Thank you, thank you. I don't speak English. I don't speak English." And he like takes pictures with like the little kids that are there or whatever, gives people little, like, coronavirus elbow bumps and stuff, but then he just keeps repeating, "I don't speak English," and like goes back in his house. Fucking phenomenal. Like, he's just like, "You guys can celebrate if you want, but like I gotta get back to work," basically.
Yeah, and he like doesn't want to learn English either, so he does all his press conferences with a translator. Like, he's like not even like doesn't
he tried for a bit and then he's just like yeah he tried for a bit and then now he's just like, never mind. Yeah.
He's another manager that had a plan, though. Like, this was, he was going to take them to the Premier League. Yep. And what, how long has he been there? 2 years?
Yeah. 2 years.
I mean, he's another man with a plan. Like,
absolutely. He's a man with a lot of plans. We can talk about that. He's a man with a lot of plans. And I looked this up. Somebody on our text thread was like, it seems like he lives in like a really small house, because he's like, in this video, you can see like, he's coming down and he has to like come from behind a car, and you can see like that the type of house that's there. And it's like a little row house is what we would call it, I think, in America. Maybe they have a different word in the UK. But so I like Googled, I was trying to like figure out like, is that his actual house or where is he living? And it's like, yes, he rents a one bedroom apartment above a shop in down the street from the training ground. And that's where he lives. And where does he do a bunch of his work? At the local Costa Coffee, which is like the UK equivalent of Starbucks. Like, apparently, yeah, like there's a couple Costa Coffees in the neighborhood, and there's like, you can go on Twitter and just see like picture after picture after picture after picture that people have posted of being like, Bielsa's back at the coffee shop, like with his fucking binder and like making calls and like doing work. Like, he's getting paid £6 million a year. He just signed a new deal after getting this promotion to go up to £8 million a year, and he does not give a shit about that. He's like living in a one bedroom apartment and doing work where he can like get a free seat at the coffee shop. Fucking phenomenal.
And like,
how long do they last in the Premier League?
Oh man, just let me enjoy the moment right now.
Yeah,
well, I mean, come on.
I think it depends a lot on how much they upgrade the talent, right?
Yeah, they have a lot of holes. So they actually filled. So Jack Harrison, MLS shout out. He was going to go back to Man City, but they got him alone for another year. Then Ben White, who's like the defender and the only player on the team that played every single game this year, and like arguably like will be voted player of the season for Leeds. He's on loan and most likely going back to Brighton too. So they got a lot of work to do. And it'll be interesting. Like I want to bring up Sheffield, not like as a direct comparison, but yeah, they like did a completely rehaul of their roster when they came up from Championship, and they're doing awesome this year. So I wonder, just, it'll be interesting to see what script they take. If they keep a lot of their, I'm sure they'll do a little bit. I hope they keep some players, because there are a few that I like, but they also, I also a few that frustrate the hell out of me. So, hopefully bring in some players. Because yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to say, is that being a fan, like, I have to find illegal streams in order to watch games. So like, a lot of my Twitter is just, I follow people who are like crazy about Leeds, and they'll post streams. So, and like, especially in this restart, because it's like a legal stream, so they don't, and it's like Championship, so they don't, like, some will have the crowd noise added and some don't, because it just depends on whoever the person like who's streaming is watching. And the ones that aren't, Bielsa is like you can hear him like screaming from the sideline in Spanish and like giving directions. Like it's hilarious.
It's gotta be the best part.
Everyone, like, you should all be thankful that he's gonna be in the Premier League next year, because he puts on a show.
I can't wait.
He puts on a show.
And the greatest part about Bielsa that I love is that the show, I mean, not that this isn't true for every Premier League manager, but okay, if you're gonna contrast him to Mourinho, or like who is probably like the antithesis of what we like, is that like the show with Bielsa is 100% real. It's the most authentic shit you can imagine. Like, he really gives that much of a fuck. He really, if he's asking the players to do something, it's like he's put in an insane amount of work into why they should be doing that, whatever, right? There's no show for the media. There's no show for like furthering his own career or something like that. It's all like motivated on winning. That's why he's doing, you know, 8 pages of notes on the other team's third string keeper or whatever. like he just fucking needs to win in a pathological way. And he's willing to put in the work. So like, that's why he cares so much. You could probably say the same thing about Klopp. Like, Klopp's, I don't think Klopp has a, it's all fake or something like that. But I definitely think that a lot of coaches in any sport like put on a show, like you're saying. But the Bielsa show for me is that realness, and that's why I love it.
All right. Well, next week on the Soccer Thread podcast, Bielsa Love Fest, we'll talk about his 8 pages of notes on the third string keeper and why he loves Costa Coffee so much.
that's gonna be 2021 Soccer Thread podcast season. It's just gonna be dedicated to Marcelo.
Yeah, hopefully we get our audio issues figured out, because I'm afraid this podcast is not gonna hit the airwaves either. So
one more thing. He has a training session where all the players, they call it murder ball, where he just like demands them running around, like they aren't allowed to stop running, and they like play a game, and if you they aren't allowed to stop running, and like they
amazing,
like, that's amazing.
I love that. Like, it seems like the more you read about him and like these things, the tactics, like any part of what he does, it's like he's never coached with someone else. It's just like, I think this is a good idea, I've thought about it, I have a reason to do it, we're going to do it. It's not like, oh, my players are going to think I'm fucking nuts. Whatever. Nobody else does this, so like, why would we do it? It's like, nobody else does this. Fine. Good. Like, his 3-3-3-1 formation, whatever, all these kind of things you think about, it's like, he starts from fucking scratch with these ideas and then builds them, not like building on other people's things or...
It
has to be like somebody else.
Manager will like try to like take the tactics and like, and kind of apply it to the team they have, or this player take his strengths and I'm going to try to like mold our team like around it, or tactics. No, he's not. He's like, this is how I do things, and this is what we're doing. Like, and I'm going to make it like this is, I'm going to make it happen.
So, yeah. Do we want to talk about the FA Cup final, or do we want to talk about the FA Cup final approached by Bielsa?
Let's talk about if Bielsa managed Bielsa in the FA Cup final with Chelsea on one side, Arsenal on the other side, who would win?
Bielsa.
That's exactly right. What I was thinking.
All right. Well, so there's other football that's happening that's not Bielsa murder ball.
Unfortunately,
yes. FA Cup final is set. Chelsea beat Manchester United 3-0 today. Arsenal beat City 2-0. Is that right? Yesterday?
I think so, yeah. Both from Aubameyang.
So let's just quickly, who do you see winning this, and why is Pulisic going to be man of the match?
He didn't play today. He was hurt. Hurt/rest, I think. I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. Honestly, I don't know if you feel this the same way. Maybe it's because I'm caring less about this like run-in of the Premier League season, because, you know, Liverpool champions, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like it's been harder to get like that kind of read on like player status. Maybe because the media access is different or something like that. But like, I feel like I'm not as clued into who is hurt and why and why guys are in and out of lineups, basically.
Yeah, and FA Cup's always weird. I guess for me, because I don't have an ESPN Plus account. But the one thing I did see today from the – actually, to answer your question, I think Chelsea, just their form, the way that they come back from the restart, I think they take it. And Arsenal's going to Arsenal, so.
Arsenal's going to Arsenal.
David Luiz. Yeah. David Luiz, get him in there.
But I want to say one thing about the Man United Chelsea game, and I don't know if anyone else saw it, but there's this like viral video going around from the game of Harry Maguire, and he's like in it. So he's like dribbling in a circle in the back, and then ends up running into Matic, like his own player. Then he ends up dribbling back. So it's like just a quick like 10-15 second clip. And then he just like tries to play a pass. It's just a horrible pass intercepted at Chelsea. So everyone's just like retweeting it, like most expensive defender in the world, like Man United money well spent. It's if you guys can see it, I'm sure it's been all over. At least I've seen it, but it's pretty.
It is a hilarious video, and I think probably my favorite. My favorite part is him running into Matic.
Matt just like what the fuck are you doing? Yeah.
My second favorite part is as soon as he kicks the ball, like even before he kicks the ball, I don't know who the player is, but you can see a Manchester United player running to recover because he knows that there's no way that pass is coming to him. It's just so it's so great. It is a hilarious, hilarious video.
It's like it's like well a kid, like I could see someone's kid, like just like in a wreck, like 6-year-old, just dribbling in a circle in the back, not knowing what to do with the ball, running into his own player.
Yeah, but like talented enough to hold on to the ball so he doesn't lose the ball dribbling, so he's able to like evade enough people, but then the final pass is just so it is Keystone Cops. It is so good. All right. So FA Cup final, I have no idea when that is. Probably next weekend. Maybe it's in the middle of the week. Maybe it's a kickoff at 9 a.m. in Orlando. I don't know. Speaking of kickoffs at 9 a.m. in Orlando when the humidity is 150%, MLS is back tournament, still happening. I think that we've Colin, you've given it, 50% chance of succeeding. We haven't had any positive COVID test for a while, which is, guess, good news. It's definitely good news. Kevin, have you been watching any of these games?
Yeah, so just Kevin's gambling corner. To start it, I had...
That's the only reason to watch these games.
Yeah, I had New York City FC winning the whole thing.
That's right.
I like the payout odds, but they're not even going to make it out of their group, so that's pretty great. It's entertaining. It's awesome basically having a soccer game on every night. And it's MLS too, where like Orlando City's playing awesome. Like who would have seen that coming? It's MLS. So like no one really knows. So maybe I guess that does kind of fit the, storyline, but. It takes a little bit to get used to with like the weird like scoreboards in the background and the green screen stadium stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's times where the green screen like cuts off half of a referee, so you can only see his leg, like this assistant linesman. That's pretty good, but I mean, and
or the ball disappears.
Yeah. And again, it's having a game on every night, and it's good soccer. And I kind of like the tournament fashion, the tournament idea, because it really does like it allows for the like a star player to be a star player, and then also just unknowns to come up. Again, coming back to Orlando City, like Chris Mueller, second year guy scoring all these goals. Like again, that's something you wouldn't never have thought or seen coming. So those kind of storylines are interesting to me.
We even have another
Wisconsin Badgers.
Chris Mueller is a good shout. Akko Ayanola.
Ayo Ikinola.
Ayo Ikinola, that's right. But we know him on the thread as Jesus Sultan. you know, 20 years old, has five goals in three games, five goals in two games or something like that for Toronto.
And just like some really nice ones, like really class.
Yeah. So it's goals. At least a good, opportunity to see some young players getting some time and maybe get into the conversation about some men's national team caps here and there.
Yeah. Some good audio on the coaches on the sideline. We also had on the text thread this week the full transcript of what Greg Vanney said in the first half of that Toronto game. And it was all like,
fuck Omar.
Omar. Fuck Omar.
That was really good.
One thing with all these restarts of soccer games and the MLS and even just the Premier League is now that the players, after they score, they don't have like a crowd to celebrate to. I love that they like just jump in with the subs, like the subs warming up like behind the goal. Oh, I love that. Yeah. So like, just, I don't know, it's just kind of cool. Like the team camaraderie and just the different portions of it. I love it.
Yeah, I agree. Type of celebration. No situation where you can celebrate by yourself. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, there's no crowd. Like, I there's cameras, there's people watching, but like celebrating by yourself, you would look like a fool. So you got to go celebrate with your teammates.
Oh, lovely, lovely stuff. That's all I have on this bare bones run order. Anything else? More Bielsa love?
Always. Get your Bielsa buckets ready for the Premier League. God, I cannot wait for that. I cannot wait. I mean, this is like my level of excitement for this.
Started it up again.
It's higher than when we got Pep and Mourinho against each other in Manchester. That was the last time I feel like I had excitement like this for a managerial situation entering the Premier League.
I love it. We all need something to look forward to these days. So yeah, Biel's in the Premier League.
Let's do it.
All right, guys. Thanks. Thanks, Cliff. And, be safe and arrest those motherfuckers that killed Breonna Taylor.
Yep. Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, was it my internet or did Kevin cut out there? I just want to know how bad shit is. Yeah, it felt really bad, but you know, good luck to whomever the editor is.
If it gets done.
Well, that felt terrible. That's okay.
Yep, bless up.
How's Fly in the building? Availability is the best ability. A fox in the box.
So I think we all put on our mic shoes for this last few minutes here. Sandals.
Even in our wildest dreams, nothing matters and we never win.
No asterisk.
MLS back is back tournament.
It's his middle name.
Oh, I hope you're not recording.